appreciate you.
Preaching, God help.
I tell you, certainly glad to be out Riverside once again. It's been quite a while. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful today for what I've already felt in my heart. Songs has been sung, testimony, good word of prayer. Most of all, I'm thankful for what I can feel when God moves. You know, we go to quite a few churches from time to time and preach in different things. And it seems like a lot of places we go to, they've left God outside the door. And you just can't hardly feel his presence. And I'm glad there's still, thank you, sir. I'm glad there's still a few places around that still love the Lord and still worship God the old time way. And I'm thankful for that. If you got your Bibles, go with me. I'm going to go 1 Chronicles in the 13th chapter. Take my thought from there. Some years ago, while you're looking there, I'm going to share an experience with you I had. God laid on my heart a couple of times, so I'm going to share it with you. I was taking care of a church that didn't have a pastor and didn't really know which way they were going to go as far as serving the Lord, I guess you'd say. And had a meeting one Sunday night with some of the leaders in the church. And they said, Brother Shackford, they said, you're just too old-fashioned. And I wasn't trying for the pastorship. I wasn't trying for that. I was just trying to help them out. They said, you're just too old-fashioned. And they had said that before, and I tried to change my way of preaching just a little bit maybe to satisfy different people, you know. And I said, well, I only know one way to preach. That's the way God called me to preach. And that's just, if God don't come along, I don't know what to do because I don't have anything. It's God's Spirit that comes, does the work. I just come here and try my best to be read up, prepared, ready to go. And God gives it to me, and I try my best to give it to the church. If God's Spirit don't come along, brother, I got a few words I can say, and that's pretty much it. But anyway, I left there that Sunday night, and I was broken heart. I was just in a bad place. And I remember going home that night, didn't say much going home. And I remember taking this very Bible here and opening the door to a house and walked in where the living area was. And I took this book and I tossed it just as hard as I could onto my sofa. And I said, I'm done. I can't satisfy nobody. I'm done. And when you sung this song, Lindsay, about God stirring up in your heart, it reminded me of that. And my wife has never said much about my preaching as far as you need to do this or you need to do that. I mean, she'll criticize me if she don't think I'm doing something right. She'll let me know. But when I did that, I laid it down there and I turned to her and I said, I'm done. I'm not preaching no more. I quit. I expected her to come over and put arms around me and say, it's okay, you know, things are going to work out, just keep doing the best you can do and things are going to be fine. She looked at me and she said these words, and it has stuck with me from that day. She said, I would hate to be where you're at right now. And she turned and she went upstairs. And I stood there for a few minutes just shell-shocked because she didn't come over and pat me on the back and say everything's going to be okay. And then as she walked upstairs and left me all alone, I walked over and I picked up this book right here, this Bible. And I said, God, nobody may not want to hear me preach, but as long as you'll give me the breath to do what I can do for you, I'm going to try my best. So I said all that, and I appreciate you asking me to come out to be with you today. I'll try to do my best. That's all I can do. I'll try to do my best and hope that it'll be a blessing to you. Hope it'll be a help to you today. I'm just an old-time preacher, and that's all I want to be. I don't want to try to change for nobody. I don't want to try to get modern. I don't want to try to do anything like that. I just want to preach the way that God gives it to me. So First Chronicles 13th chapter. I'm going to take my thoughts from there. And let me get you to where we're at for just a moment of time. The children of Israel had never had a king before. God gave them a king by the name of a man called Saul. And he disobeyed God, and it repented God that he made him king over Israel. So God had anointed a young man by the name of David to be the next king of Israel. But there was a conflict that went on for a long period of time between Saul and between David. Even though God had removed David from having the anointing to be king and had given it to moved it from Saul and given it to David, there was still some that followed Saul. And as a period of time went on, there was a great number that followed David. But then it got to a place to where the conflict got so great that God finally took Saul out of this world, and David began to be the true king of Israel. Now, when Saul was king, he had the covenant with him. The covenant was something that under the Old Testament that they used, sort of like we use the Word of God today. It had a few things in it that they would use, and Saul had it, and David and his people didn't have it. And they felt like that they needed to have the Ark of the Covenant with them so that they could worship God to the best of their ability. And today, my friend, if we're going to worship God, that's what we should do. We should worship God to the very best of our ability. With everything in us, we should worship God. So here they are. David is now the true king of Israel. And he's beginning to talk to the children of Israel. And here's what he says in the 13th chapter of 1 Chronicles. It said, "And David consulted with the captain, the thousand and hundreds, and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, If it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and the Levites, which are in the cities and the suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us." He said, "And let us go and bring again the ark of our God unto us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul." And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. And that's going to be all that we read just right there. And if I had a little thought today, it would be along these lines. And I've said this before. If you're going to serve God, do it right, or just don't do it at all. Because you can do more harm by trying to serve God and going about it in the wrong way than you do good. So here's David. He begins to talk to all the congregation of Israel, and he begins to tell them that the Ark of the Covenant is back where Saul had it. We need to go gather it. We need to bring it to us to where that we could worship God with all the power that we need to worship God. And in the Ark of the Covenant, it said there's a few things in there, but one of the main things they had the scrolls that they would open, and the high priest would read them from time to time, so that they had the law that Moses gave to the children of Israel, to where they could read it to the children of Israel, where they would know right from wrong what they needed to do in a sense. So I hear David, he goes out and he begins to talk to all the people that are there, and he begins to tell them that we need to go get the Ark of the Covenant. We need to bring it back here to where we could worship God. David had the right intentions. David was going about, Brother Josh, to do the right thing. But when David began to go about doing it, he began to do things the wrong way, even though he had the right thing in mind here. David went out there and he began to talk to the people, and he said, "If it be of God and everything be in order, we'll go get the Ark of the Covenant. We'll bring it back here to where we can worship God the right way." Then he says, and just a little bit after that, he said, "If it be good with the people, that's what we'll do." That's where David began to mess up. Just a little bit right there by trying to please the crowd, please the people, instead of inquiring of God which way that they needed to do this.
this. David received again to go out and begin to instruct the people. He said, go out and get a brand new card that had never been used before. He said, go out and get a brand new team of oxen that they could pull the card. Get everything in order, get everything brand new so we could go out and begin to bring the Ark of the Covenant back with God. Buddy, that seems to be right. They don't seem to be anything out of order there. He got a brand new car to pull the Ark in. Everything was okay there. He got a brand new team of oxen that had never pulled a load before. He didn't want to get an old wore out team of oxen or anything. He wanted to get a brand new team of oxen. He wanted everything to be just in order. The Bible said they begin to go out. All the people did. They begin to pray and they begin to sing and play their instruments. They begin to worship God as what they were doing there. But everything seemed to be in order the way they were going to serve God. They were going to send for the Ark of the Covenant. They were going to bring it back there to where that they could worship God. Everything was in order. Everything seemed to be just right. But I want to tell you, when they went about doing things, they had the right intent, but they went about it the wrong way. I want to say to you today, there's one way to serve God, and only one way to serve God. It's not my way. It's not your way. It's God's way today. That's the only way there is to serve God. I didn't set this up. Nobody else did. God set this up. God put this in order the way that God wants it to go today. And God made things to go His way, not our way today. So they went out there. And bear with me for just a minute now. I want to get to where I need to go. They went out and they got a brand new card. Buddy, to pull the Ark. A brand new team of oxen. To pull the Ark of the Covenant. They went over there. They got the oxen of the Ark of the Covenant there. And they put it in a brand new wagon. They began to pull it back to where David was. Josh, but you know what happened? Buddy, a few things happened here that was out of order. As they began to pull the cart here, a brand new team of oxen. When I was a young boy down home, my papa used to plow a garden, and he had an old horse or a mule that he would use, whatever he had at the time. Every once in a while, he'd get a young horse or a young mule. You know what he would do, brother? He would team it up with the old one so he could begin to learn the right way to go. He never did team up a new horse or a young horse without having trained it first. So here David was. He went out and he got a brand new team of oxen that had never pulled a cart before. The Bible said, as they began to go on the journey, one of the ox stumbled just a little bit, and the Ark of the Covenant, it began to waver. Now listen to me, my friend. That was precious to them. Just as precious to them as this book is to us. They needed it. They loved it. They were going to die for it if they had to. So here they was. Running that brand new team of oxen. One of them stumbled a little bit. Uzzah was one of the drivers. You know what he did? He didn't want to see anything happen to it. He just stretched back his arm to study it just a little bit. You know what happened? It made God mad. That's what happened. You know what God did, my friend? God struck him dead right there on the spot. Old David began to look around. Here they are. One moment of time. They were singing and praising God. Following the ox. Buddy, they carried the Ark of the Covenant. In the next moment, one of the drivers was struck dead. David, he said, wait just a minute. We're going to stop here. Things are not right. He said, take the Ark off of the cart there. Put it in Obed-Edom's house. The Bible said that it stayed there for a period of time. You know what happened to his house?
Yeah.
The Bible said that God blessed their house while the Ark of the Covenant was there. You know what that tells me, my friend? You put God's word in your house,
yeah,
and God will bless your house. say? God, what do I need to do? He began to inquire among the people. That's what he should have done first, John. Yes, sir. David, when he began to move the Ark of the Covenant, what he should have done was inquire of the priest and the high priest and see how do you move it. My friend, there's a way that you deal with God's word. And it's God's way. Yes, sir. It ain't like a newspaper or a paperback book. And you pick it up and read it. No, sir. This word, my friend, was written by the devout men of God as the word of God fell on them. And they wrote it. Yes, sir. So it has to be conducted that way with honor and reverence to God. David said, what do we do now? Well, the priest began to call to David. They said, David, they said the tribe of the Levites are the ones that God set aside to carry the Ark of the Covenant. You get the tribe of the Levites and you have them to go down there and you have them to get the Ark of the Covenant and they can bring it back home. Well, David went to them and he told them to do that. You know what they did, my friend? They went down. The tribe of the Levites or the priest and the high priest, they went down to where the Ark of the Covenant was. But you know what they had to do first? The Bible said they had to repent of everything in their life. They had to get things in on there before they could carry the word of God. I want to say this to you today. This world is full of people that God never did ordain. Preach the word of God. But yet every Sunday, they'll get up and they'll try to carry God's word. But all they're doing is stumbling along the way. And they're not carrying it. God said, I get the high priest and the priest and the Ark of the Covenant. Have them get their staff. I'll put it under the Ark of the Covenant and lift it up and carry it on their shoulder. Woo! I want to tell you, my friend, when they did that, you know what God did? He blessed them. They went down. They got the Ark of the Covenant. And they brought it back to where they could use it. Bless his sweet name. But I want to tell you, today, my friend, you can't use God's word no way except the way God intended it. That's it. I see people and I hear people trying to use a little bit of a verse here and a verse there to make this okay or to make that okay. I want to tell you, my friend, if God says it's right, then it's right. If God says it's wrong, then it's wrong. And you leave it alone. Yes, sir. People today, they're trying to have church, but they leave God outside the door. If you don't welcome God in, how can you have church? It's just a meeting place. That's all it is. But when God comes along, you know what takes place? We have church. When God shows up, without God showing up, we don't have church. But when God's Spirit comes along, my friend, that's where our people can get saved. We visited a few times a church up in Indiana where we live. Good people. Known some of them for many, many years. Good people. And our grandkids went with us. They said, Papa, man, also we really like this church. Can we go back and visit? We did a few times. Because we wanted to get our grandkids somewhere that they enjoyed being. Well, after going there for several different meetings, we went home one night. Diane said, Clyde, she said,
I like going to that church. They're good people. They treat you good. Everything seems to be okay. And this is what she said. But she said, Josh, but I don't know if there's enough spirit in that church that our grandkids can get saved. Shame on me, my friend, for having church, but not welcoming God in. Because without it, buddy, I want to tell you, you cannot serve God. No, sir. It takes God in the church. Do that, Josh.
Amen.
You do it God's way.
Amen.
That's it.
Yeah.
It'll hurt sometimes. I'm telling you, it'll hurt sometimes. God, I want to do this. Some that ain't right. God, I want to do that. Some, you know that ain't right. God, I got friends out here that do this. I'll just go visit them a little bit. Son, you know that ain't right. But I want to tell you, you serve God right, or you don't serve God at all. What did God say in one place? He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold instead of being lukewarm. Because he said, if you lukewarm, I'll just screw you out of my mouth. In other words, if you're just lukewarm, you give God a bad taste. Yes, sir. I want to tell you that. I don't want to be cold. I don't want to be lukewarm. I want to be like you said, brother. As close to God as I can get.
Yes.
Why can't I do that? You're looking at the reason. I can't do it. I get in the way. Not God. I get in the way. When I can get quiet out of the way, Josh, you know what takes place? I begin to walk close to God.
Yeah,
and you know what takes place? When I begin to walk close to God, my enemies, they don't mean any harm to me after that. What do you mean, preacher? They don't mean any harm to you. They can't do me no harm. If God be for you, God can be against you. If you want to have power with God, walk with God. If you want to have power with God, serve God. If you want to leave this world and go to a better place, get saved and live for God. Get us a song. Get us a song. Today, my friend, you're either with God or you're not with God. Yeah. You're either saved or you're lost. I got some real good friends of mine. I've grown to love them a lot.
Yep.
And they confess to being Baptist people, and they go to a Baptist church, and that's why a Baptist church ain't going to get you in heaven. All right, God. I don't know who the clerk is, but when God comes back, he ain't going to the church clerk to see whose name's on the book. No, sir, my friend. God's got a book, and if you've ever known God as your Redeemer, your name is written in the Lamb of God. And if you give our prayer, when he calls you out of this world, you have no hope whatsoever. The Bible said, as a tree falls and goes down, so shall
it lie.
What does that mean, preacher?
Yes.
If you die lost and under, you'll be resurrected.
Resurrected, same way.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
If you die.
Yes.
Let me rephrase that. If you leave this world and you're a child of God, my friend, you won't have to die. If you ever get word,
a
little preacher from Indiana that spits and slobbers and asks what he prays. If you ever get word that he has died, you say, no, sir, he hasn't died. He just moved on to a better place. I got up to see him. When I was 12 years old, I'll not die again. I'll just be rewarded for my labor serving the Lord. So I'm going to give an invitation like this. Whatever your needs are, I don't know, but you know and God knows.
If you need to get saved, you need to come.
Right.
And you need to do it God's way.
Right.
Preacher, how'd I do it God's way? We went to a church years back up in Indiana. Heard a lot of good news about it. And I was telling Josh and Lindsay this earlier. We went in and sat down between church and Sunday school. And some of the men came up, ladies, and they began to play old-time bluegrass gospel. That's my favorite music now. That's my favorite. I love bluegrass gospel. And Southern gospel, whatever you want to call it. They began to play some bluegrass gospel in between church and Sunday school. And old-time song. And I remember leaning over Diane, I said, this may be a pretty good fit for us. I like that kind of music. Well, as soon as they begin to start service, the pastor got up. And listen, I'm not trying to belittle anybody. That's not my intent whatsoever. Don't have an interest in doing that. But the pastor got up. And he said, I want to share some good news with you. He said, this morning, it was in the winter. It was a little icy. He said, we had a little 8-year-old girl with us. Said she got a little scared because it was icy outside. And he said, I called her up to the front of the bus. He said, I knelt down. He said, I told her, repeat after me. And he said, we said a sinner's prayer. And listen, I'm not belittling anybody in your beliefs or anything like that. However you want to believe, that's perfectly fine. He said, well, she confessed after what I said, repeated it. And he said, I told her she was saved. Everything was okay. So he said, I wanted to report that to the church this morning. Now listen, I'm not belittling anybody. But I didn't need nobody telling me when I got saved. I didn't need nobody telling me what to pray when I knelt down to pray. I didn't need nobody tell me that my heart was broken and God was dealing with me. No, sirree. God let me know. And I got it the right way that night. So if you're going to come God's way.
Amen.
If you're here, you want to draw closer to God.
Amen.
I had an old deacon friend of mine when I was a young man growing up in the church, even before I got saved. I used to go to his house, and he lived across the street from the ballpark. When we played games here, I'd walk across the street. He always sit on the front porch during the summertime. His name's Raymond Hood. Some of you may have known him. And he was just a man that I admired tremendously. Every once in a while, he'd go up to the altar and he'd pray when the preacher gave invitation. I begin to think now, he's a deacon in the church. He's a spiritual man of God, one of the most spiritual men I've ever known. Why in the world does he need to go up and pray? So one Sunday I went up to him after church. I said, Raymond, I need to ask you a question. He said, yes, sir, anything you need to ask me. And listen, I love this man with all my heart. Still look up to him to this day. I said, Raymond, why do you go up and pray near an invitation like that? When the preacher gives a message about people needing to live right, needing to repent. I said, I just need to know why you go up and pray. He stood there for just a moment, didn't say anything. And he was just an humble, humble man. Tears began to flow down his cheeks. He said, Brother Shackford, he said, I can't get close enough to my God. Think about that now.
Not close enough.
Buddy, think about that today. I can't get close enough to my God.
Hey.
No matter how close I get to God, he said, I want to get closer to God.
Yeah.
Well, think about that, my friend.
Yes.
There's times that I kneel down in my little prayer closet I got at home when I have a need. And if I'm right where God wants me to be, and I have something really trouble me, but you know what God does? Now, I'm being honest with you. But God, just like God speaks to me like I'm speaking to you, I can feel God just come along and put his arms around me and say, son, everything's going to be okay.
Right.
I'll take care of it.
That's
the God I serve, God.
Amen.
That's my God. Let's sing. Sing, children. Sing. Somebody needs to come this morning. Somebody needs to come. I don't know your needs, children, but whatever it is, you need to come. If you're lost and undone, you need to get saved. You need to come. If you're out of fellowship with God, you need to come. If you're walking with God, but you just want to walk closer to God, you have that great desire just to walk closer to God, why don't you come? Whatever it might be, maybe you just need to ask God, help me to do it the right way, your way. Whatever it is you need to come, why don't you come today? Why don't you come? God's so good to us children. What other God? You say, preacher, what do you mean other God? This world is full of false gods. This is where you look now. Like a church that uses the altar. You know why? That's where I met the Lord, God. That's where I met the Lord. That's where I met the Lord.
And I know that He's still there.
Preacher, how do you know that?
I go there all the time. That's how I know that.
Showing up this morning.
Place to be this morning. Thank God for the message. I really got a lot from it. God opened my mind in a lot of places that I've read that story so many times, but He opened my eyes to some of the things that I've never thought about before. That's what the preaching and that's what the gospel does. It opens your minds, it enlightens you, it lets you know. That's how I know it's real. That's how I know in my heart that He's there and that He loves me is because He lets me see things. He lets me know things. And He wakes me up every day, puts me to bed every night. And glory to God, if I wake up tomorrow morning, that'll be another day that I get to praise Him for. But I'm telling you what. I don't understand why this world doesn't want Him. I need Him. I was just about to say, I need Him every day.
Gotta have Him.
And I thank God for Brother Shackelford, Brother Clyde Shackelford this morning. For the message that he allowed God to pour through him. I needed that this morning. I know we all did, or he wouldn't have came that way. I love the Lord. I just appreciate everything about Him. And I don't know if anybody's got anything on their heart this morning, if they've got a prayer request, testimony, anything at all, anything you need to say before we end this service this morning.
Brother Dylan, I just want to say I thank the Lord for all this mercy and goodness.
That's it.
Yeah. I've had a good week, and this morning I woke up and I wasn't feeling good. But I try to always do what I can for the Lord. And even though I'm crying, I'm going to pay for it later with more of a week. She hadn't felt good for a week. She had a lot of us worried. She just couldn't get over her heat exhaustion she took out on the court last week. But he's made her all better, and I'm thankful for that.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank God for these things. Anyone else? We'll take it home with you. You'll regret that. For these things. Anyone else?
Thankful we'll stand up a few months.